I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Longshot is a production of McClatchy Studios and iHeartRadio.
A listener note. This episode contains adult language and adult themes, including sexual coercion and emotional abuse.
I'm Alex Andreev, and this is a bonus feature for Payback. As you heard in part 6, late in our reporting for this podcast, two former National Women's Soccer League players leveled allegations of sexual coercion and emotional abuse against Jessica McDonald's longtime coach, Paul Riley. Those allegations first appeared in The Athletic, in a story by Meg Linehan. At the time, Riley was the head coach of the North Carolina Courage, but those allegations were just the latest scandal involving leadership throughout the NWSL. In fact, during my year of reporting for this podcast, scandals involving sexual harassment, abuse, or misconduct on the part of male coaches made headlines across the sports world. In soccer,
it's the fifth NWSL coach accused of misconduct this year alone.
In gymnastics,
charges announced today range from human trafficking to criminal sexual conduct.
In swimming,
grooming her for a sexual relationship when she was just 13 years old.
And beyond.
This is a systemic problem that doesn't get addressed because the adults in the room don't stand up. And that has to stop.
In this episode, you'll hear from an expert that producer Kata Stevens and I found particularly informative on this topic.
I'm Dr. Tanya Pruitt-White. I create space for primarily athletes, a lot of female athletes, to heal from harm that we have collectively experienced within sport.
Dr. White is a trained survivor advocate and scholar on sexual misconduct prevention and sports psychology. She co-authored the book, Examining and Mitigating Sexual Misconduct in Sport.
And what I do is talk about hard topics that oftentimes are dismissed within athletic departments and organizations.
What emerged from this conversation was a fuller picture of the complex psychological dynamics in the coach-athlete relationship, the ways those relationships can go so wrong, and how athletes today are redefining their roles as advocates. This conversation has been edited for length and clarity.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. White.
Hello.
It's so nice to meet you. How are you?
I'm well. How are you both?
Great.
We really appreciate your time. I think even just like kind of your background and title is a good place to start. And what you've written about really kind of overlaps a lot with allegations of misconduct that we've seen in the NWSL. Can you explain that a little bit more and how long you've been doing this type of work?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was a professor in New York City, I received a call from my father that my former coach being accused of having a sexual relationship with a freshman in high school. And I immediately knew it to be true. I could feel it in my body. I would often say this, and it was kind of downplayed a lot, that this person should not be coaching girls in high school. I felt inclined to reach out to this young girl. I was not at this time trained as a survivor advocate. Being a woman in sport with a degree in sports psychology, really wanting to empower female athletes, I was just attempting to be, in my mind, a good human to tell this young girl who was coached by my former coach that I deeply believed her within a community that this was a very contentious thing that was happening.
Yeah, that I know for you, this is an extremely personal subject.
Yeah, so she was telling her stories. And I started to recognize everything that she was sharing. I learned from a 16-year-old girl when I was 30 that gently rubbing someone's wrist means I want to have sex with you. And I was like, I knew in my body that that had happened to me. I did not know at the time that I had been groomed. It wasn't conscious in my mind. And all of a sudden, after the conversation, it was this realization that like this had been going on for 20 some years. And so all of a sudden, all of these memories and thoughts became very real for me. And I knew then as an adult that these behaviors and things that had happened were not appropriate. I started recalling him coming to my home. He came to the front door and had a Lakers jacket. And he said, "Don't tell anyone that I got it for you. You're going to be the best point guard from this town." All of these memories, taking me raspberry picking alone. He regularly said, "I love you," you know, and then starting having conversations with my parents and my parents saying, "You know, we thought it was just a really special thing. He thought you were such a special kid." And so he had also groomed my parents. He had groomed the community. So that's really where my journey began. Shortly there, later that summer, I went through the survivor advocacy training with what is now Resilience here in Chicago. And I've never looked back.
You know, those patterns when we talk about grooming or coercion or some of these practices that coaches exhibit where it really crosses the line. What are some of those patterns that we see in behavior typically?
There's these three areas generally that grooming occurs under: the psychological, the physical, and then the grooming of a community. So the psychological will be things like finding out what the person likes, starting to make you feel as though you're special, as though you're unique, that they're spending one-on-one time with you to make you better in your game. The perpetrator is also starting to see how far they can go. You know, is there going to be a parent, a guardian, a friend, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a partner that's going to intervene? From there, the physical could be things of a hug.
You know, the themes that you kind of talk about there, right? I know in your book as well, it, you know, trust seemed to be this really key factor of the coach-athlete relationship if you want to perform at your highest level, right? So,
and we normalize it in sport. Think about when we're training in sport. A lot of times it can be really ambiguous, like, oh, well, I have to touch the athlete's body to help them with their form, to teach them how to box out, how to swing a bat correctly, reposition and adjust. In gymnastics, it could be any sport. And so that becomes normalized. Because is everyone a perpetrator who has to touch an athlete's body or wants to hug an athlete after a loss or a successful game? And no, but these are part of like normalizing this physical touch that then transcends to a hand on the knee, you know, arm over the shoulder for a long time, holding hands on a bus ride, you know, privately, those types of things. And the athlete has been psychologically groomed to possibly normalize this, to think this is what happens for when you have a really great coach that cares for you. And then also within the community, it's not uncommon a lot of times for these perpetrators to be perceived as the nicest person, pitting the athlete against other people within their community. The isolation is really key in the grooming process. So pitting the athlete against their other teammates, pitting the athlete against their partner or their parent, their fellow coaches as well. You know, things like, oh yeah, that coach is really mean. And I'm the nice coach. I'm the one who cares about you. And so these are some of the things that become normalized over time. And then it's a lot of times too late when people are like, oh, this is what happened.
I mean, I wonder what the damage can be when that trust is then broken. And, you know, you start to have this realization of that was actually totally inappropriate. What's the effect, I guess, on recipients of that kind of behavior at the hands of coaches?
Disorientation, right? The person who has made you believe cared about you the most, right? Had normalized their behaviors and their abuse of power to you as a victim or survivor. And then a lot of survivors, there's this disorientation of, does the next coach really care for me? Does my next intimate partner, what are their intentions? And so with these violations of boundaries, it can be confusing in terms of, well, was I really a great athlete? You know, was I really going to be a champion? Or was all of that just to create this intimate relationship? And so there can be for athletes, for survivors and victims, this moment of what is truth and what was the facade? And that's part of the work that I do is our bodies know, our bodies keep the score. And so, right, when a lot of times I'll say, if it doesn't feel right in your body, trust it. But we are so socialized, even in sport, we think about like athletes, right? Some of the things that we value, play through pain, champions never quit, all these things. So we teach people to disorient themselves, separate themselves from their physical body. And that's part of the healing process for many survivors is beginning to trust themselves again and that they are more also than what they endured or what they experienced.
You're very focused on this type of work, obviously, but as you were kind of coming into this space in this world in your research, did you feel like, wow, there's a lot more people than I thought that have experienced something similar? Do you have any sense of, you know, how prevalent some of these issues are?
Full disclosure, the first year that I began holding space for athletes, I was blown away. I would do anonymous surveys after a session and ask if they felt comfortable, you know, are you a survivor yourself? And it would be within an athletic department, 48%. And not everyone shared their story in these spaces and not all of their survivorship happened within sport. I would sit there after these sessions and I would really have to take it in. You know, one out of two in some of these spaces was like, it happens everywhere. Sexual misconduct is in every community. It's in every organization. It's in every family, maybe extended family. And we are not talking about it collectively. And that is part of the education that is necessary.
We'll be back after this.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When we talk about some of that education, the term bystanders, I know, was mentioned a lot in your work too. So I want to, I guess, explore that term a little bit more. What is bystanderism? And then how does that play into how we typically respond to these instances of sexual misconduct in sport versus how we should be responding?
Yeah, the nuance is so important when we talk about bystanderism. Bystanderism is this phenomenon that people or persons feel something's off. They recognize or acknowledge that there's harm being done, and yet they do not intervene. And so it happens at an institutional level and it happens at an interpersonal level. And bystanders do and don't intervene for a variety of reasons. And so this is where we have to hold the nuance. This person who's perpetrating, who is grooming, they're also grooming a community, and there is risk in being a bystander, right? It could be social capital. It could be that you're going to have to go against the rest of your teammates and they may not believe you, just as they may not believe the survivor, right? It could also be for an athletic trainer who witnesses something, they could lose their job, taking on harm yourself, right? These are the real things that are happening. So most of the time we think, oh, we're going to applaud you. There's going to be another constituency that is going to demonize you. The more that we educate, then we can collectively be with one another and normalize being a bystander, normalize not doing harm to humans, not only in terms of sexual misconduct, but all sorts of harm.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think it kind of plays into this repeated theme of institutional failure and all these instances we've seen lately. Because ultimately, the institutions are made up of people that, need to take action of some sort, either do or don't.
So institutional failure. I think one of the hardest things, and you named it, people make up organizations and institutions. And so as people and people in power, it's first admitting that the system, the processes, they are serving the most powerful, the most wealthy within the system. And so that has to be interrupted. And so what is at play here? It's money. It's capitalism. It's reputation. We need to have more restorative conversations because we hear a lot of lip service. Institutions oftentimes, all right, we'll bring in a speaker. We'll do a sensitivity training. We'll do a sexual misconduct prevention, online training. And then we'll keep things moving. The system wants to keep moving as is because it's working for those in power.
The accusations of abuse were devastating, but not surprising.
Was not indicted today on several complaints of sexual assault.
More than 60 women have filed complaints so far.
This comes about a year after a police investigation sparked by lawsuits by 22 women.
Olympic gold medalist Alex Morgan noted the league was informed of these allegations multiple times and refused multiple times to investigate the allegations.
We get into this victim blaming. At some level, most of us have done it. And what we don't really sit and recognize that only 1 out of 1,000, statistically speaking, 1 out of 1,000 perpetrators ever go to jail or see prison time or have a sentencing. 1 out of 1,000. So let's sit with that reality. And so believing survivors, why would a survivor want to come forward if they know that the legal system isn't working for them. And so a shift that I often will welcome and invite people into is that if we know a survivor, we also know a perpetrator. Believing survivors, to me, is believing that, yes, people experience this, but people are capable of harm. As I work with athletic directors and coaches, oh, we just have to focus on survivors and what creates a situation, you know, and how do we support after the fact? And there's not the same level of conversations as I perceive them that are happening of like, oh, perpetrators are here in this athletic department right now, right in this space. And this feels and sounds really, really wild for a lot of people.
We'll be back after this.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
In your book, it says we should recognize when it comes to sexual misconduct, we have the potential to be victims and perpetrators. We must live in this reality, face it full on, and act as a community of bystanders. What does that really mean in action?
It means so many things. Not every perpetrator goes into their abuse of power with an athlete or with a child or a person with a long standard pattern of behavior. A coach could be going in with good intentions, and then things can snowball. And so it's acknowledging that. So if we think about situations where we could put ourselves in that spot, then we can be like, okay, like I need to be recognizing my own boundaries. I need to recognize where I have power, where I do not have power, and be taught this, right? We do not innately think about this on a daily basis. So teaching people to like really think about what abuse of power looks like.
I know that you do a lot of identity work. Obviously, it's a prevalent debate nationally right now about books in schools and identity and how all of that is acknowledged. And can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Yeah. So I deeply believe our identities are steeped in our socialization. And and not all right. And they're fluid, and we are socialized to believe that they're fixed. Right. And so I oftentimes will name, I think there's important things to name. I'm a white, cisgender, overly educated human being, married to a man, raised Christian, right? All of these things provide privilege. And so why this is also important, especially as we relate it back to sexual misconduct, is that there is a history where people who live in my identities, look like me, are protected, are most likely to be believed. And this is historical. This was by design. And we need to sit with the reality that not all white men are perpetrators, but historically, white men with wealth had sexual access to every body, white women, enslaved women, indigenous women, Latina women, Asian women, over history, across the world. White men perpetrate sexual harm more than any other, right? Like that's like, we just have to sit and breathe that in. And who is most protected? The white woman is most protected in society. And then who was least to be believed? Time and time again, women of color, Black women and girls, trans women. So why this matters to sport? Who's in power in sport? Very white, cisgender men. If we want to talk about sexual misconduct, we also have to talk about this. And so when I walk into spaces, I have to absolutely share who I am, share my socialization. And actually, sometimes I need to step out of the way because women like me, we've had the mic enough. We need to hear what is really happening. And we have to ask those who have been most harmed how they want us to make it right. We can't come and say, well, we're going to do this, this, and this, when those who have experienced the harm is saying, actually, what I need to make things more right or better or for my own healing is for this to happen. And that's transformational. And that takes a lot of courage to reimagine. And until systems, people have the fortitude to reimagine, harm is going to continue to be done.
I'm Alexandreev. Payback is a production of the Charlotte Observer, Raleigh News and Observer, McClatchy Studios, and iHeartRadio. It's produced by Kata Stevens, Casey Toth, Julia Wall, and Davin Coburn. The executive producer for iHeartRadio is Sean Titone. For lots more on this story, and to support journalism like this, visit charlotteobserver.com/payback or newsobserver.com/payback. And for more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody
and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.